Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We back. We're reacting to the disaster yesterday. That was that first quarter. 40 points from the Houston Rockets as they absolutely punched the Warriors in the mouth. Pat Spencer did get his head butt in later, so he did got ejected, and I wasn't mad at it. They made a little run, 36 points to the Rockets, 24 in the fourth quarter, but nothing that really got to the serious nature as far as I'm concerned. Maybe some people feel else, like, hey, maybe you should have gone to the starters there. If the backups were the one to get you back into the game, don't you stick with the backups? If the starters are the one that got you the hole, right? Doesn't that tell you all you need to know?
No, the bench guys actually accomplished the job, which is same thing in baseball in a blowout. Get the closer to get up,
yep,
right?
There you go.
And then they got the starters back into the game,
yes,
for the Rockets, which to me was exactly what you needed to do. You do not bring Steph and Jimmy and Dre back into that game. No, once you've waved the white flag, I will stand with Steve Kerr. No, you don't put them back in at that moment.
You think he waved the white flag a little too early in that game?
No, I think it was just right. I mean, they're down 30.
I know. It sounds insane. I know.
Did they at any point in the second quarter, first quarter, or at the start of the third quarter look like they could string together the comprehensive amount of stops they needed to get back into that game?
I didn't see it. Steve Kerr was asked that question as well, if he had any thoughts about bringing the starters back.
Can't do that. When you make a move like that and then, you know, the starters are on the bench, you can't go back to them. It's just not the right thing to do.
And then Draymond Green was asked about that and asked about Kerr telling them not to chase it tonight.
Yeah, we had a quick conversation. And he was just saying, yo, I don't think we should chase it. I said, cool. We'll give it 5-6 minutes. We can't turn it fast and pull the plug.
Are you cool with that, Dub Nation? Did you think that they, you know, should have put the starters in a little bit later? Should they have, you know, stuck with them a little bit longer? 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go out to Greg in San Ramon, wants to join in the conversation as we're talking about that blowout loss. Remember, game 6 tomorrow at Chase Center, 6 o'clock. We'll have coverage starting at 5 right here on 95.7 The Game. Have all the pre and post, all of it. And then you would assume, if necessary, a Sunday game would be on the horizon in Houston for Game 7, but we'll worry about that if a disaster scenario happens tomorrow. In the meantime, Greg, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I just want to point out that I think we overreact sometimes, and I say we as Warrior fans, and I try not to do that, but if you told me that the Warriors would be up 3-2 going back to San Francisco for Game 6 before the series, I would have taken that. What happened last night, you know, I think the Warriors made a punch early, very early in the game, but then the officials really seemed to be calling. I mean, the Warriors were in the bonus. Houston was in the bonus, I'm sorry, with 6 minutes to go in the first quarter. So it was pretty evident that this game wasn't going to turn out well. And I also think that we're probably not giving the Rockets enough credit. You know, when the Warriors lose, it's always what the fans will call in and say what the Warriors did wrong. If you look at the games, though, Houston's a very good defensive team, needless to say.
And the longer this series goes, they're starting to realize some of their advantages. For example, Amon Thompson, he's unstoppable, it seems to me. I mean, he was like the second coming of Jordan the last two games. And so I think the Warriors, if they don't win game seven, it's going to be really hard. I'm sorry, if they don't win game six, it's going to be really hard to win game seven. I'm hoping they win Friday.
Well, I mean,
thanks, Greg.
You started off by saying we overreact. I think I'm just reacting to what I'm seeing this series. And what I'm seeing this series is a significantly closer, matchup than whatever the scores indicate outside of yesterday's game. What I'm seeing is this team have a clear advantage. I'm talking about the Rockets in multiple areas. Size, paint scoring, rebounding, athleticism, defense on the perimeter. Those are huge advantages right now. Ball security has been a big thing for them. You know, what have the Warriors' advantages have been? The three-point ball, free throw line, right? Getting certain guys situationally into foul trouble. Cutting off the scoring from the mid-range for the Rockets and the three-point line in crunch time. Situationally, the Warriors have been really, really good. If I took those elements away, we're talking about 3-2 in the other direction.
I mean, he started his call off as saying, I don't think we're giving the Rockets enough credit. I think we've given them a lot of credit. We said they were the more desperate team. They played like it. They punched the Warriors in the mouth early, and they didn't let up. I am absolutely giving the Rockets credit for this win. That's baked into the equation. It's also fair to me to say that the Warriors knew they had a game to play with. They have a couple games technically to play with, and they might have taken their foot off the gas a little bit. I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm saying that might just be the reality of the situation. And you can get mad, you can get frustrated all you want, but you know what? I'm leaning on my vets in this scenario. When Jimmy Butler says they're going to be fine, they're probably going to be fine. Like he said that after, what was it, the game two loss? Whatever it was, like, or no, it was after the Clippers loss, right? He's like, you know what? We'll have, get some Domino's, get some coffee. Everything will be fine. And it was. They handled business against the Grizzlies, and they got into the playoffs. Handle business tomorrow. We're not talking about this. That being said, I do think, and I'll bring it back, I'm going to keep bringing this up, like the most frustrating aspect wasn't the game itself. It's the fact that this is now going to six games because, as you've mentioned, the wear and tear on these older guys' legs. It's going to be a thing. We're going to continue to monitor it. Jimmy, like he says, he's feeling better. He's got that deep glute contusion. Steph, the thumb. We've all seen the picture. If you haven't, it's from like when they're getting off the airplane or getting on the airplane. They zoom in on the picture of his thumb, and it's just this huge ball that's on there. It looks like a jawbreaker that was inserted, like plastic surgery. It looked gross. It did. And now players are swiping at that hand, and I guess it's legal. I don't know. It looked like a foul to me when Şengün and Dylan Brooks both collided with him on a three-point attempt, and they did not call it. They called another foul somewhere off ball, but that was frustrating. I'm sure Stephen Curry's frustrated with it, and he talked about it yesterday.
You don't think about it. If it's a foul, they should call it, and that's it.
It's a foul, they should call it, and they didn't. And Steve Kerr was asked about players if they're targeting Stephen Curry's injured thumb.
You know, the rule, the NBA, is once the shot has been released, you're allowed to hit the guy's arm. And so what's happened in the league this year is players always they're going to outsmart, the rule.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
They know what they're doing. So players all over the league are just taking shots at guys' shooting hands after release because they know it's not going to be a foul. And I'm very confident that next year the league will fix it because it's only a matter of time before somebody, you know, breaks a thumb or breaks a hand or whatever. But these are the rules. I do believe they're allowed to call a flagrant if they want. The refs could call a flagrant if the guy winds up and takes a shot. But no, it's been happening across the league all year long. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But, you know, we have to take it through the league process to get that changed, and that'll probably happen this summer, I would guess.
Do you have some type of way about that?
I think it's called sports.
Okay.
You know, if you know that someone has a lower leg injury in hockey, you attack that. If you know that the quarterback has a hurt shoulder, you're going after it in football. Like, that's sports.
Those, like, hockey and football, a little different than basketball, wouldn't you say, though? A little bit.
What do you mean? If you know that a guy has a hurt hand, yeah, you're gonna get in on his hand. If you know that his ankle, like, great example, when the Warriors clearly could tell that Ja had hurt his ankle and they didn't isolate him and try to run at him in the Memphis Grizzlies game, I was losing my mind. That's what you do in sports. You see a vulnerability, whether it be health or a weakness on the team, and you attack it and expose it. That's professional sports. This isn't CYO. Like, what? Look, Dylan Brooks is doing everything within reason in the rule book. All right, so I have no problem with it. Right? Do I think Dylan Brooks is a clown at times? Yeah, I do. I also support a guy that can be accused of crazy things in Draymond Green. If you don't think Draymond Green is going at people who, you know, like, smartly might be compromised physically, like, I think you're fooling yourself. Like, that's pro sports. I have no problem with it. But here's the reality. Yeah. This is why it's so dire. It's not about just losing a game. It's not about being up 3-1 and losing. You can lose any game. Like, there's no doubt. It's the reality of this team getting up for a game just less than 48 hours later after traveling back home, being injured with the thumb, right? Like, he's not 100%. It's going to be a little harder. Even at 100%, Amen Thompson is a problem. He is causing problems.
He's a beast.
Now, you're not at 100%. He's a bigger problem. Jimmy not being 100%. The best second half from Jimmy was after he had extra rest, missing almost the entire game two, but missing game three and having a little bit of rest and being ready to go for game four. He doesn't get that luxury this time, right? Draymond Green haven't played that great. Situationally, he's been great, but full games, he hasn't been that great. Pajemski's been really good for one game, been all right for a couple. Right? Like, there are some trends going on here. This is a bloodbath. This is the way series go. And when you're older, your margin of error is thinner, and it takes harder and longer for you to get up for these games.
888-957-9570. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed here in San Francisco. We got the mayor, Daniel Lurie, joining us at 9 o'clock. And don't forget, Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game with Willer and Dibs. That will be appointment radio. We will all be locked into that. And how he felt about the L. Steve Kerr's been here and done that, though. Like, this is why, and I'll bring it up again. Like, he's only lost one Western Conference series. He has been in this position before. He has been up 3-2 multiple times in the West. And more often than not, he has taken care of his... Actually, anytime he's up 3-2, I want to say now, in the Western Conference, they win that series. Because they were never up 3-2 against the Lakers. They were down 3-1 in that. So anytime he's been up in a series in the West, they've won it. So if you're just going off history, they're going to win the series. But again, this is an older team, as you've mentioned. You don't want to hear that. This is Jimmy Butler now is here. Stephen Curry, who's 37 years old. Draymond Green is older. The age. Are you starting to focus on the age and wear and tear, Dub Nation, after a loss like this, that you could have got this series done in five, and now it's shifting to six, and they got the young guy, Amen Thompson. Dylan Brooks, how old is Dylan Brooks? Still in his 20s, I want to say. He's not, he looks fresh to me. Şengün in his 20s. Jalen Green in his 20s. Fred VanVleet is the grizzled vet on there. I want to say he's in his early 30s still. Steven Adams is the oldest 31-year-old. I don't know, like, been in the league for 20 years, it feels like. But he's still relatively young in those years. So, yeah, it would be incumbent on them tomorrow, 6 o'clock at Chase Center, to get off to a fast start. That's what I wanted them to do yesterday. And they didn't, and they could not recover from it. I think tomorrow, and we'll have all day tomorrow to preview it, we'll have Bonte in studio for the entire hour at 9 o'clock. Can't wait for that. Get his thoughts on it. Like, they need to get out to a fast start. I don't want this to be a tight game late. Not to say they can't win it. I don't want that on my psyche if I'm a Warriors fan.
Well,
I'd like to win
that,
this.
But what sparked that yesterday? What sparked it? It was 8-8 at one point. 8-8. That's what the game started out. What sparked it? Sloppy offensive possessions at the top of the key from Steph Curry. Elite on-ball defense. A killer zone defense on the other guys. Daring anyone else to shoot. Right? They're going to do that same thing. They're going to need guys to step up.
I just don't think, again, I don't know if this is a cop-out. You can get mad at me. Warriors fans can get mad at me and say, I'm not giving the Houston Rockets credit. I am. I would be shocked if they shot that well again. Shocked. I think they've shown me who this... The Rockets have shown us who they are for most of this series. I think yesterday was an outlier. Shooting the ball wise. Like, they were incredible.
Well, that might
they
be
were,
true.
They were incredible shooting the ball yesterday.
It was actually historic.
Yes.
I mean, 95% effective field goal percentage in the first quarter alone, per Anthony Slater's article. They shot, 69% or whatever it was. It was historic. But that being said, when you get transition buckets and you get buckets in the paint, it does open up your floor. Now, maybe you don't shoot at the clip that you were yesterday, but if you just look at the shot percentage from the looks that they got, I bet you that if they get similar shots, that is, they can repeat that. They can replicate that, right? Like, they get good looks in the paint. Is Şengün a problem?
Yes.
All right. Is Steven Adams, when he gets subbed in, is he getting them second and third and fourth chance opportunities?
He got three offensive rebounds yesterday. Again, Amen Thompson had four, crashing the glass.
Okay. You let Jalen Green. Jalen Green get downhill multiple times. He hurt his knee in this game.
He did.
And then came back into it. Did they even test the knee? Not really. No. They didn't go at him. You got to do what Dylan Brooks is doing with Steph on the hand. You got to test people's lateral quickness when they screw up their knee right there. So, look, they have not had an answer for Dylan Brooks. He's hit a lot of big mid-range turnaround shots. Good ones, too. Like, there's some things that I think that the Rockets are doing, and we're being a little dismissive of how good they've been. Have the Warriors been god-awful? No. But things are starting to go in their direction, and they've got to make adjustments. I'm talking about the Warriors. Have to make adjustments.
I don't think we're dismissing the Rockets. Like, we can acknowledge their backs are up against the wall. That game clearly meant more for them yesterday than it did for the Warriors, because the Warriors know they had one in the back pocket that they can go back home today. They're back home today, and they play a game tomorrow. And they could do, like, they have this thing baked into the equation already. The vets have been there and done that. I know you don't want to hear it, but that's the reality when it comes to these guys. Like, saying, yeah, we're fine. And maybe that doesn't land well today, but that's what Jimmy Butler's going to say after a game like that, saying, yeah, dude, like, I've been here and done that. I've gone to 2 NBA finals before. Like, I've been in this situation where we're up. We need to put a team away. We'll get it done.
We're fine. Our confidence isn't going to waver any. We're going to start out better. We're going to play a better overall game because we know how good of a team we are as a unit. We know how good our players are as individuals. So we just got to starters. We got to kick us off better, which we know that we will do. We'll be fine.
And Draymond Green talked about flipping the page as well.
Yeah, we turned the page quick. Just start talking about possible adjustments that we can make, things we see, stuff we can get into. But yeah, we flipped the page really fast.
And finally, Stephen Curry asked if he can compare this loss to that one we've been referencing against Memphis back in Game 5 in that 2022 championship run.
Yeah, there's definitely something you could look back on and part of the journey, but that's all well and great to talk about. You have to go do something about it on the court. And, you know, we talked about our group is trying to do this for the first time together. And I love that challenge because, you know, we have an opportunity to, you know, write our own story and how we bounce back. And we've had a pretty, you know, resilient group over the last 2 months, and that's the show on Friday.
So yesterday, like the most concerning aspect, I think, if I'm a Warriors fan, though, is at this point, just given the last two games, it's Stephen Curry struggling. Like, that's the one for me. And I know he can break out of it and he's not going to use the thumb as an excuse, but it's not even the shooting ball. Like, because I know Steph's going to shoot the ball.
The ball handling.
The turnovers, man. It's just killing him. The half court turnovers, that's something you can control. That's what's the frustrating part of it. It's not like he's just missing shots, because he can miss shots. That's not, you're Steph. You're the greatest shooter ever. He was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc yesterday, 4 of 12 overall. It wasn't a great shooting performance. That's 2 in a row now. It's the carelessness with the ball.
I don't even know if it's carelessness.
No, it is.
No.
This is who he is, though. Like, he spent his whole career.
No. On some of the passes, I would agree. The ball handling yesterday, which I think has been a theme throughout the series, because Thompson's defense has been elite.
No, he's great.
He has picked his dribble 6 times that I counted. 6 times. Like, that has nothing to do with carelessness. I think that has to do with someone playing up in you.
Well, that also is incumbent on you to adjust then. Like, Stephen Curry is one of the greatest players, a top 10 player of all time. I'm not letting Amen Thompson pick my pocket left and right.
We might be looking at a young player who's just special defensively.
He might be.
You know, we might look back at this conversation in 4 or 5 years and be talking about Amen Thompson in a different light.
Sure. Is Amen Thompson right now a better defensive player than Stephen Curry is an offensive player? I would say no. Stephen Curry is still head and shoulders better than him on the offensive end than Amen Thompson is on the defensive end. That's picking the equation.
I think we're sleeping on Thompson. I think if I was looking at perimeter defenders over the next 5 years after this series and seeing how sharp this kid is in terms of his understanding the assignment and defending without fouling and size and strength and fearlessness, hand-eye coordination, there's not many guys I'm taking ahead of him in the whole league. I'm not overreacting. I'm assessing through 5 games how great this kid is.
I mean,
the Portland Trailblazers took Scoot Henderson ahead of him, and that looks insane today.
Hey, well, it's a great name, Scoot. You can't pass up an opportunity like that. Guys probably has a Razor scooter in the back.
Like right now, like, no, honestly, let's what other young guy are you taking ahead of this guy as a perimeter defender? He's better than McDaniels, the kid I saw in Minnesota.
Ooh, McDaniels pretty good.
No, he's really good.
Like, I've
taken Thompson. That's how highly I think of Thompson.
Okay. Well, who's my other guy? Who's my guy? Dyson Daniels, whoever.
It's a very short list.
Right. Yeah, he's 22. Like, that's another one. But again, your point is well taken. He's been incredible. And he's a local guy. I root for the local guys. He's been awesome to watch, but it's coming at the Warriors' expense right now. And I think shooting the ball for him, that was what was more eye-opening yesterday. He was 8 of 12. And he hit his free throws.
And he gets into the lane.
And like, he was crushing the boards. There's one thing we can laugh at it when it's just like, hey, you know, they kept missing their free throws. The scary part is if the Rockets have made their free throws this series, they would have won it already. That's kind of a sobering reality in all this.
Okay, so now you can understand why I'm a little...
That's
fine. And again, I'm not saying that the sky is over. Like, they're fortunate to be up 3-2. They are in the driver's seat, as people like to say. But also, like, these margins are thin. This is an older team, you know? Draymond Green tweaked back, some foul trouble for Jimmy. Steph just having another off half. Like, it could be curtains. And the next thing you know, boom, it's 3-3. We're going back to Houston, and it would be our 5th game in 9 nights.
We got some calls here I want to get to. Leroy's out in Oakland, wants to talk about that loss yesterday. 131-116 series now at 3-2 in favor of Golden State, who are going to be back at Chase Center tomorrow for Game 6. What's your concern level at right now, Dub Nation? Are you panicking or are we sweeping this one under the rug? Nothing to see here. We'll get him tomorrow at Chase and wrap this thing up in 6. Leroy, good morning. How we feeling, man?
Hey, good morning. I'm feeling like I am in for one heck of a ride this season with the Golden State Warriors. And I'm realizing that I'm going to have to be patient from game to game. And I'm just going to have to enjoy this because the rest of the way, I think we're going to advance, but as we go along, and I say we because I'm a big Warriors fan, but as the Warriors go along, these series are going to get longer and longer. I'm looking for 6-7-game series the rest of the way, and here's why. It's because the team is getting older, and this is my concern. It's like they'll be great for 2 games, and then it seems like they're just dog tired. And then they'll just let a team win a game and then win another game. And then we'll get our energy back and close it out. And that's why I'm like, I'm thinking the rest of the way these series are going to be 6- and 7-game series because we're older. We get tired within these series. But then, you know, we'll rebound. And like I said, these series will be, you know, 6-7 games. So, and you hate for the games to go 6 or 7, but it's just where we are as a team.
And Leroy, how good is the Thompson kid? I mean, he's been special.
He is so fantastic, but what I can't get over is, you know, where we took Kuminga and where OKC took Sengun, right? That's what I'd be cringing at, like, it was right there for us to grab, right? But, no, Thompson is fantastic, man. He is going to be good if he can stay healthy, but the thing that makes me cringe, guys, is seeing Sengun. Mm. and we took Kuminga before, and didn't take Sengun. So that's what eats me all the time. And then we're not playing Kuminga. So, but anyway, hey, Warrior fans, let's go. Let's go. We're going to be okay, but we're going to have to grind these series out. They're going to be long series the rest of the way.
It's a great point, and I agree. And I probably sound super pessimistic today and people are going to get angry or whatever. This is how I feel after losing that game.
Well,
that doesn't mean that I think that the Warriors still aren't going to find a way to win this series. I still believe that. I think it'll be really hard. And I think that we're all going to take a big sigh of relief if and when they do that. But his point about Kuminga, best believe, if and when they get bounced in these playoffs, then we were going to have a very big conversation on you didn't play him, you didn't trade him, you didn't do anything with him. And if we were looking at one of the few things to truly critique Dunleavy over, it's the asset allocation of how they handled Jonathan Kuminga. Either you use him or you trade him and you get something that you can use. Right now, they're losing it, meaning that they're not using him. They didn't move him. They didn't get anything that could help them now. It has been a lose-lose. That one element is fair to be critiqued, especially considering we know one player, whether it's a defender, a big man, a shot maker, could have really flipped this series, and it could be over.
It was tricky, right? Like, he had an injury at the time of the trade deadline. You didn't know. He had been playing well right before it. He was in an interesting spot. Maybe it goes back to last summer when his name was dangled around in a lot of reports, right? Whether it was Lauri Markkanen, whether it was Paul George, whoever, and whoever you believe, I don't know. But his name was out there. That's all I know from credible sources. His name was getting floated out there. Pajemski, who knows? That being said, him being a DNP and basically being a DNP all series and potentially all playoffs long, it's not a great look.
You haven't used him, and you haven't needed him, really.
But he didn't need him once, and then he didn't do much.
Look. Do I understand the conundrum they were in? Hey, we're making a deal for Jimmy. We don't even know what the team's going to look like. Jonathan's been injured. I don't know what was out there. I don't know what other teams wanted him, especially considering the contract situation. Well, I understand all that. But if you don't think you're going to be critiqued about A, not using him, and then B, okay, well, you didn't use him and you didn't like him. Well, then why didn't you trade him for something that you did like,
sure,
that you could use?
Well,
that part is fair.
That absolutely. And, you know, you go back to that Heat trade. You couldn't have used one of the young Miami Heat guys if you wanted to throw Jonathan Kuminga into that deal. Again, I don't know what their interest level was. Maybe that's unfair of me to even ask or think about. But, yeah, I look at that Miami Heat squad and I was like, there's a lot of young players that – maybe the Warriors could have used in this playoff run, but again, that's a conversation for another day. They're still in the playoffs right now. They're up 3-2, even though yesterday the Rockets took care of business 131-116 to extend this series. And Leroy brought it up. You brought it up. I'm just not, you know, I didn't wake up this morning saying, oh man, the Warriors' age, that really cost them yesterday. I don't know. I was like, no, I just think the Rockets were firing all cylinders.
Sure.
Like, If they were playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are a relatively young team yesterday, I still think the Rockets win. I think
VanVleet is now in the he scares me zone.
Yes.
This is two back-to-back games. This is a guy that has crushed the Warriors' soul 6 years ago. Right. He's playing great. Like Şengün has been like studly. Jalen Green is all over the place. I have no idea what to expect from him. Dylan Brooks has been really good. Amen Thompson is getting better and better and better.
Yep. 888-957-9570. Text or call that number. Are you putting yesterday's loss on age? A lot of people are texting in and calling about it now.
It's an element.
I just don't think it's the thing. That's just not my takeaway at all after yesterday.
No, but I do believe that age and health is going to play a factor in game six and the possible game seven.
Potentially.
And the amount of energy you exert and are able to muster up. Because there's a penance of playing as hard as they did in that game four and that game three without Jimmy Butler. Back-to-back games, you know, you had to really work hard. And, you know, some teams just can't muster it up.
Well, I don't want to hear that as an excuse tomorrow, considering Jimmy played 25 minutes, Steph played 23, Draymond played 18. Like, they didn't play much yesterday. So I don't want to hear that. If they do lose yesterday, I'm for sure not hearing that excuse, and it might not matter on Monday if they lose on Sunday and we're reacting to it.
Look, if they win on Friday, a lot of the feeling I have now will just go away.
Okay.
All right? But I'm just telling you how I feel right now. And the anxiety of this game six at 6 o'clock at Chase Center, and yes, I said it right, game six will be at 6 o'clock at Chase Center. It's moved up a little because there is no Minnesota Laker game. So please, if you're going to go to Chase Center,
get there early.
Get there early.
Yep.
The anxiety is already through the roof for me. And
really?
I admit it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dochi, anxiety? That's you right now?
I mean, this is a two-game series, man. You got to win one of the next two.
And you know what? I feel confident because I got Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green. They have been here, and they have done that. You can say, oh, but the Houston Rockets don't know any better. No, they're going to start realizing the situation they're in. Now, they do have a leader that's been in this situation before, Fred VanVleet. And now he's playing well. Is Fred VanVleet a good enough player? I know he's been a one-time All-Star. He's won a championship. I'm not disrespecting Fred VanVleet, but there are levels to this thing when it comes to the trust factor in big games, whether it's in Game 6 or a potential Game 7. Like, there is just something about leaning on those big boys. There is. There absolutely is. And I think that's baked into the back of a lot of Warriors fans' minds right now. It's like, you're playing at home, and you got those three guys. You should win that game. Now, I'm going to go to Oscar in Stockton, and I want to get his thoughts on it, 888-957-9570, because Oscar in Stockton, one of the most positive and optimistic Warriors fans we have on this station. This guy was talking about winning it all or going all the way just a couple months ago, and we know he loves him some Draymond Green. Oscar, how are we feeling about yesterday's loss and heading in your mindset heading into Game 6 now tomorrow? Good morning, Oscar.
Good morning, you guys. Hey, Joe, Fazoni, calm down, man. It's going to be all right. You know, by watching the Warriors play yesterday when they first came out, when they came out sluggish, I said, you know what? This is the giveaway game. And we cannot discredit what Houston was doing. Thompson, they fighting for their life. So you knew they was going to play like that. They didn't miss no free throws. They was clicking on all cylinders. But one thing I can say, usually, you know, I'd be all just like him, Joe. I'll be all ready to get on the walls, but not this morning because I love the way Steve Kerr did. I told my wife, take them out the game and put the bench in. When he put that bench in the game and he made Udoka bring back them starters, did you see Steph Curry, Butler, and Green on the bench? They know. When they come back Friday, that's the energy we're going to come out with, and we're going to win in six. I told everybody, we're going to win in six. Houston was the number two seed for a reason. So everybody calm down. It's okay to act like that. But remember, we're coming home to the Chase Center, man. Just calm down, man. We want to win it. And guess what? The Warriors are still going to win the chip, man. You guys have a great day, man. Everybody calm down in the Bay, man. We're going to win this championship, man. Y'all have a good day, man.
Thank you, Oscar and Stockton. See, that's the confidence right there.
Championship.
And I do like you said, I need to calm down. Like, I haven't been the one that has been saying they'll be fine the entire show. Because, like, again, I'm with Oscar and Stockton a little bit here. And I do think that is a good portion of the fan base feels like how Oscar feels. Like, all right, they got theirs. And, you know, after quarter one, all right, the game was over. I can prep my dinner. We were fine. I'm sure you enjoyed a nice meal out with LJ and Michelle, and you're great, and everything was okay. Flipped on a movie or something, put on some Coco Melon, whatever else, Miss Rachel, and you were fine after it. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
Tomorrow is setting up to be the situation critical game of all games.
Okay, nicotine.
And it's you lose tomorrow. I mean, it feels like 2002 San Francisco Giants. You have to win game six.
They were just in the same scenario 2 years ago against the Kings. You didn't win that one, and you won in game seven in Sacramento. You're fine.
I don't want you giving me any more history lessons or mathematic numbers after yesterday.
You brought up 2002 Giants. I'm giving you an actual basketball-related thing from this team 2 years ago. It can't be both.
Like, it is both.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm telling you what it is. Like they don't have enough in their tank to be able to go out, play a tooth and nails game on a Friday night, and then fly back to Houston for a Sunday matinee game for a game seven. I don't think they have it in them. I really don't.
Well, then, like, if that's the case, then they're not winning a title.
Well, that's a different question.
Like, what are we talking about?
No,
then?
That's a different question. Like, what?
This is how it's going to be going forward, like every other day off.
But it doesn't mean, like, you can't have a great year and not win a title. Like, this wasn't a title or bust team. Now, I know you traded for Jimmy and Dre said stuff like that, and we all like to say it, but, like, this team was the 11th seed when they made the deal with Jimmy. They were 25 and 26.
Filmo Mike, help me. 888-957-9570. Filmo.
I mean, Chip, come on, guys. Like, come on, Chip. Can we crawl before we run?
Filmo, how we feeling, man?
Fedoni, I can't help you in this one, brother. You got to understand what we're dealing with. This is not a laughing matter. It's not, we can get him in game seven.
Exactly.
That's not the point. The point was to get him yesterday. The point was to go in there like Minnesota and take care of business, to nip it in the bud. Now, from my personal standpoint, I don't know I'm not the coach, but I would have went with the youngsters a lot. I sensed like they wasn't like the OGs, which is, it's another game. Put them youngsters in. Put Moody in. Moody out here dunking on people. That's what type of energy we needed. We didn't need nobody in there like nonchalant cavalier, and that's what you kind of displaying, Spadoni, is nonchalant cavalier. It'll be okay. No, it's not going to be okay, because just like you guys just stated, you keep playing around and wait. Anything can happen in game five. Somebody can get injured. Anything can happen. Don't play around, man. Don't play with your food. Eat it while you can. And I felt like we didn't really come out too sharp and focused. Mm-mm. And Kerr was acting nonchalant, like, oh, man, he was just looking, bro, get somebody else in the game. Hey, Post, weak ass out. He was fumbling the ball 3-4 times.
Get a bad game.
And that's what I'm saying. Kerr be giving other people leeway. He got to stop doing that, man. Give everybody the same leash.
Hey, Filmo, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell me Pat Spence doesn't remind you of that guy that goes from, like, Day Street Gym to St. Mary's Park. Like, that guy could play. I like Pat Spencer. I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all. I'm not saying he should get 20 minutes. But my guy deserves a couple minutes here and there. I love Pat Spencer.
I mean, you got to sense the moment. You needed a Pat Spencer. You're somebody that's not scared, that he don't really care. He really don't care.
I love him.
You see he got a Burt Reynolds mustache on. He don't care. He's out here balling. Let's play. Come on, man. I love Pat Spencer. He gonna give it his all. We needed some people that was going to give him their all and then come back in. You feel me? Like, okay, I see my starters ain't got it. Let me bring this mob unit in just to see what they going to do, because if you got a game to lose, I think he stuck with the starters a little bit too long. Get them out. They was flat. They were soft. Get somebody else in. Moody, come on. That's what I would have did. But
I love the TJD reaction.
Appreciate you, Filmo.
To Sengun trying to punk Pat Spencer. Like, right. I love that from TJD. The guy's been on the bench for months on end, and he was just ready for the moment. I love that guy. And I legitimately love TJD.
That whole interaction, Brooks, Sengun, Spencer, the
young guys. Post played terrible yesterday.
He did.
But in terms of, like, not backing down, Post didn't back down the game before. No. Pods hasn't really backed down on anyone. Spencer ain't backing down. TJD ain't backing down. And look, Moody hasn't played great. I'm not here to make excuses for him. But it's not like he hasn't backed. He wasn't backing down to anyone.
No.
The youngsters have been ready to contribute.
You know, it's if we could take a step back, I do love the chippiness in this series. When you got Pat Spencer headbutting Sengun, come on. Like, there's a part of you. I get it. You want to take care of business and you're feeling some anxiety right now. I hear you. This has been a really fun series. Like, this has been a really fun, like, battle-tested, pretty equal sides here. I've really enjoyed watching this series. The chippiness, the 90s kind of style basketball kind of looked more like 2010s, 2015s yesterday with all that scoring. But I've enjoyed it, and I enjoyed that moment yesterday. And here's how it sounded on our airwaves with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert.
Even if the Warriors lose, we're adding another level of spice to the series.
I did not think this would this could get spicy in the fourth quarter.
I did not think so either.
I thought it'd be super mild.
Well, it was Sengun first. Yeah. Well, Sengun came up and headbutted Spencer, albeit lightly now. Just nose to nose. Spencer did it.
Well, maybe
it's
Spencer that
headbutted him. I thought it was the other way around. I'm wrong. It was Spencer first. And now, but Sengun did the talking, that's for sure.
I think Spencer and Jackson Davis get technicals. Yeah. Must be a lacrosse thing.
He came away, and now, I see. Sengun, I think, was defending Brooks, saying it was a cheap play.
Yeah.
And then Spencer went to him and said, I've gotten whacked in the face by a stick. Don't come to me.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's what I love, baby. That's what Jana Mattenvee said after that moment. In the meantime, let's get to the injury report. Where is Jana Mountain View? She's got to be feeling some type of way about that loss yesterday, Joe. We need Jan on these airways. Jan, I'm putting the bat signal out for you. Not for Steph, not for Jimmy, no. Jana Mountain View. By the way, good news for the Gigantes and Gerard Encarnacion. The Giants announced this week that Encarnacion has begun taking dry swings with the bat. Oh, dry swings, interesting. And will slowly ramp up other baseball activities. Is that different than wet swings? Encarnacion has been out to start the season after fracturing his left hand in the last week of spring training. Relax over there. His official return is still a ways off as he is not eligible to come off the 60-day IL until the end of May. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California Premier's workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. Jay from the Bay, Willa Marin, Daniel Lurie, mayor of San Francisco at 9 o'clock, and Steve Kerr later today at 5 with Willard and Dibbs. We're halfway home on a Thursday. Rockets extend the series with a 131-116 win over the Warriors. Game 6 tomorrow at 6 at Chase Center. Let's talk about it all. Spinoni, Shasky, Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game.